From the Emory Wheel, I'm Gabriella Lewis. This is Wheel Talk. On November 3rd, Emory students will be casting ballots in one of the most consequential elections of their lifetime. Since the 2016 election, 14 million Americans have turned 18, granting them the right to vote. Among these newly eligible voters are thousands of Emory students. Today, we talk with these first-time voters about what their vote means to them. For students voting in Georgia, they'll be filling out a ballot with far-reaching consequences. It's the only state with two contested Senate seats this year, and polling indicates a close presidential race, giving Democratic nominee Joe Biden a chance to flip the state for the first time since Bill Clinton in 1992. Also, after a failed push to make Election Day a university-wide holiday, students are split over whether Emory is doing enough to encourage students to vote. I speak with my colleague Ninad Kulkarni about what students have to say. Hi.
Hey, Gabriella. How are you doing?
I'm good. So could you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to for the past week?
So my name is Ninad Kulkarni. I am the news editor at The Wheel. And for the past week or so, I've been talking with students who are going to be first-time voters and also some students who are members of political organizations on campus about, you know, the upcoming election, which is it's on everybody's minds at the moment. So one of the more interesting things about this is that for college students who are voting for the first time at Emory, there's a good number of them who aren't Georgia natives, but they would be registering in Georgia because as a university student, you can register in the state that you go to school in because your university is your residence for those 4 years or however long you're going to spend there. So for a lot of students, they're in a kind of unique situation where they might be from New York or California or Minnesota, Michigan, you know, any one of the other 49 states, and but they're voting in Georgia, despite not necessarily it being their home state.
So how are Emory students getting registered and creating a plan to vote in Georgia?
There's something called the Emory Votes Initiative, which is an Emory, it's a university initiative, it's nonpartisan, and one of their main goals is to encourage civic engagement among the Emory community. And they're one of the people who kind of, I believe, work to bring TurboVote to campus. There's a big push on social media, so you've got clubs, so you've got Young Democrats of Emory, there's a Fair Fight has a chapter at Emory. And they're pushing on social media with information about how to vote. The voter registration deadline in Georgia was the 5th of October, so a few days ago. So leading up to that point, you'd have seen a lot of just daily reminders. Hey, 2 days left to register. You have 1 day left to register. And another thing that I saw was happening was they're using residence halls. So for the first years who are here, there's first year representatives in some of these organizations who carry these forms with them. They leave them outside their doors. So students who are passing by can fold them out. They drop them off. And they're kind of circulated to people who are going to the elections office.
With this year, what's the significance of being in Georgia and actually registering here?
In 2018 was the gubernatorial race where Stacey Abrams ran against Brian Kemp. Brian Kemp, who is now the governor. And it was a really close race. It was really, you know, followed all around the country. It got a lot of attention. And one of the things that got the most attention then was that there was a lot of accusations and a lot of evidence of voter suppression.
Democrat Stacey Abrams, who is vying to become the nation's first female African-American governor, accuses her GOP opponent, Brian Kemp, of trying to restrict black voting.
You think this is voter suppression? It is absolutely voter suppression.
Oh, that's a smokescreen trying to hide her radical views.
Kemp currently serves as Secretary of State, which means he runs Georgia's election system.
Okay, so it sounds like there's fear of voter suppression that happened in the 2018 election. And how is that manifesting today?
So some of the students I spoke to, in some regard, all of them in some ways brought up the notion of voter suppression, especially in Georgia. And one of the students I spoke with, who's a first-year representative on Emory Young Democrats, Eric Kavorsky, he talked about, you know, just very basic things that in a lot of states you need an ID to vote. Or you need, or like I mentioned in Georgia, when you register to vote and if you register by mail and you send in your form, you have to send a copy of your ID along with it. So your passport, your driver's license, whatever it may be.
Historically, young people have had much lower voter turnout rates than their older counterparts. According to the New York Times, on average, less than 50% of young people vote in presidential elections. However, since the 2016 election, young Americans have shown an increased interest in politics. According to the Emory Votes Initiative, 41% of students at Emory voted in the 2018 primary, which was an increase of almost a quarter since the previous midterm. The change in youth attitude is pushing some analysts to say that this election could largely be influenced by young people. And for some Emory students, this election is the first time they're casting a ballot.
So one student I spoke with, Kendall Oliver, who's in the college, also a first year, registered like a week or two ago to vote, very, very recently, and didn't really come from a scenario or a family background where politics was often discussed. They're being exposed to this world after coming to college, after registering to vote. What Kendall told me in some ways was almost overwhelming.
So you were in high school for the last two election cycles before this, in 16 and 18. So was there, did you see, so that kind of activity that you talked about you're seeing here, did you see something similar to that when you're in high school?
Not at all. Not at all. There was no effort in letting people know that, you know, it's time to register to vote. This is how you can do it. You can do it here and things of that nature. Like, I never saw that.
What was it like for you coming from a school where you didn't really have, you know, a lot of that kind of activity? And now you come to school like Emory, where there is likely a lot more involvement than you would have seen in the past. What was that transition like?
It almost gave me like anxiety, but it was, I just knew that being here with like political participation or anything like that, I would do so much better. But I also didn't necessarily know what to expect coming from Mississippi and coming from being surrounded by a lot of people who weren't concerned with voting. And now I'm here and it's everyone, for the most part, knows about their role in politics. And that's what kind of gave me some of the anxiety. Like, there's just so many people that seem like at least they know more of their process than I do.
So it sounds like for first-time voters, there's a lot that they're thinking about, but it sounds like it's not just presidential. Can you tell us a little bit more about the races going on in Georgia and what they mean to students?
This year in Georgia is actually quite unique, from what I understand it. Both U.S. Senate seats are up for re-election. One of them is scheduled. It's David Perdue, who's running against John Ossoff. David Perdue's the incumbent. And the other one is a special election after Senator Isaacson retired last year. It's an open election, so there's a lot of candidates. Georgia is the only state that has both Senate seats that are currently being contested. And also, this is a year where, for the first time since the 90s when Bill Clinton ran for president, that a Democrat has a chance of actually winning the state.
So it sounds like there's a lot of people who are newly voting, but bigger question is, who are they voting for? Can you tell me a little bit about how students on Emory's campus are feeling about the presidential candidates and if it's affecting their voting because of this?
You know, for some students, and I think Zach Barry on College Republicans, he kind of summed this up pretty succinctly when I spoke with him. He was like, sometimes it's about, for the presidential race, it becomes voting for the lesser of two evils, is the way he described it. And that's how it felt to me talking to some of the students, where for some students I spoke with, they kind of gave me the impression that they're kind of settling to vote for Joe Biden rather than being fully on board with what he believes and what he's advocating for. It's more about their dislike for other candidates or the other candidate running the election, Donald Trump. President of Emory's College Republicans, Jasmine Jaffe, who's a junior now, class of 22, she spoke to me a little bit about her personal belief that she's not the biggest fan of President Trump. And she told me that there's members of the executive board of the organization who are also not necessarily Trump's biggest supporters, even though they are very much supporters of the Republican Party.
Well, I think, to be more specific, we're putting the presidential election on the back burner. At least personally, I'm not Trump's biggest fan. I don't think our members or our executive board are super thrilled with him as a president, even though we, you know, strongly support the Republican Party. I don't think some of us feel comfortable in doing specific election work for his campaign, but we do support a lot of down ballot races in the Republican Party. So in terms of registering to vote, we really leave that up to, you know, Young Dems done really good initiatives for that. And also the Emory Votes Initiative is doing a lot of work, and they've teamed up with us to, you know, provide some policy information and also just encourage more people to vote from a more bipartisan perspective. But as a club, we haven't done a whole bunch. We're just leaving it to other people.
What kind of activities are you pursuing? Like, now we're about a month away. What is the roadmap for the next 4 weeks?
We are a College Republicans chapter. We're very politically involved. We always keep up with the news and stuff. In our like College Republican chats, we talk about the presidential debates. We talk about political races that are going on. So we're more just like discussing. I have full faith in our members that they know how to register to vote. If they don't know how to register to vote, they have many resources that Emory provides to do so. I'm still deciding whether or not I'm just going to, you know, vote for Joe Biden. I don't think I'm going to vote for Trump, or just skip the presidential slot and just move down the ballot.
So it sounds like a lot of students and a lot of student organizations on campus are organizing greatly to get civic engagement happening during this election. So is the university and the university admin meeting that civic engagement?
So the answer is yes and no to that question, depending on who you ask. So before we do that, I'm just going to maybe give a brief explainer. There's been some news in the Emory community lately about a holiday for Election Day. This was something that was discussed pre-pandemic, which feels like forever ago at this point. So there was a resolution that was passed in College Council and it kind of made its way through the other student government organizations that they wanted to advocate for an Election Day holiday. This was back in February. It kind of picked up again as the year started. There was another initiative and a petition that was created by a senior legislator on College Council, Sun Park, and also by Dithya Jhaveri, who's the College Council president. They're two of the people who kind of spearheaded this effort to get people on board with having an Election Day holiday. It was circulated to the administration. Emory College Republicans and Emory Young Democrats also supported it. September 21st, there's an email from the interim provost, from Jan Love, that announced that the decision was going to be made by the individual deans of each of the 9 schools. Because of COVID, we have a compressed academic calendar, and it isn't entirely feasible to make a blanket decision for the entire university.
So what does that look like now? Did schools end up deciding to cancel classes or not?
But some schools have decided. For example, the medical school, they are mandating that there can only be one 90-minute live or synchronous block of instruction, and the rest of it must be asynchronous to allow for students to, or not just students, right? Students, faculty, everybody who is eligible to vote to go and vote, who is on campus. So it's kind of a mixed bag at this point in terms of what decisions have been made, and updates are still coming in as we get closer.
So it looks like there's been sort of a compromise with how the university handles the election day. But overall, what are students that you talk to's thoughts on how the university is encouraging students to vote?
It's been a mixed reaction, like I kind of started off with. There's some students who do feel like there should be more done. Alexis Greenblatt, who is the president of Emory's chapter Fair Fight, said that she was not very happy with Emory not just giving a blanket Election Day holiday.
The decision for the college to not cancel classes made me angry. Like, that's all I can say. I was really angry when I got that email, especially because we're almost 100% virtual in the college. And it's not just students that need to vote. Professors need to vote. People who work in the duck need to vote. It was really baffling to me.
And so did Brandon Jacobs, who is a first-year another one of the first-year representatives on Emory Young Democrats.
Personally, I think even though you could make the argument that the school is a business, we're trying to get as many people educated as possible. And so using this day in order to, sponsor or endorse something that's not focused directly on education, and even putting your money in education at risk by not allowing you to go to classes is a bad thing. Still, no matter what, no matter how you look at it, if a school, which we do as Emory University, we encourage engagement in your community, volunteering for your community, helping your community. There's no better way to help your community than through voting, and through voting for your local and your local leaders, your local politicians. And so if that's really our emphasis, is helping our community as well as teaching our community, then there should be a free day on at least one day during the process where you can go and vote.
Well, thank you so much, Nanad, for speaking with us today. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, of course.
Keep an eye out on emorywheel.com and our social media for the next episode of Wheel Talk. I'll see you soon. Wheel Talk is produced by Kaylin Chin, Isaiah Poritz, Madison Bober, Gabriella Lewis, and Becca Mosca. Music by Kevin McLeod, and cover art by Kaylin Chin. News clip courtesy of CBS News. Interviews with Muriel Statman, Zach Barry, Eric Kovarsky, Brandon Jacobs, Alexis Greenblatt, Kendall Oliver, Jasmine Jaff, and Daniel Wren.